Football Show with Andy Lamb and Sasha Shipway.
It's a netball show with Mizuno. This episode, Tamsin Greenway on England and that Rachel Dunn chant.
Well, I'm guessing it was our usual Twitter group, wasn't it? So Sadie and all those guys. Amy and, yeah, and Sadie. Yeah, it was a really emotional moment. Like, how good was that for Rach? And, you know, it might be her final World Cup, and how special that she had that whole crowd chanting that. And again, it's something we don't really see in netball. I just thought it was beautiful. I got a little bit emotional. It was so nice for Rach, and something she really deserved.
Rebecca Myers from the Sunday Times on her World Cup memories.
You know, she was overwhelmed to be there for this one. And I think she'll have something to take back and remember always. You know, that will be the experience of a lifetime, I'm sure. And she's just such a well-loved figure, I think, because she's got such a sort of gorgeous style. It's so unique, her shooting.
There's more from Sky's Hannah Wilkes, including her thoughts on Northern Ireland and Scotland.
I do wonder with Scotland whether them all playing together week in, week out on the same team, whether that benefits.
And there's trials for Northern Titans men's netball, and we hear from Declan.
How can we emulate that, and how can we promote this side of netball, which is not being a thing in the UK? So, yeah, I think it's really important, and it'll be great to see where you know, how this can form over, you know, the coming years.
More now from Tamsin, and I asked her the juicy stuff about England first. My first question about England is, can you guess who started the Rachel Dunn chant?
Well, I'm guessing it was our usual Twitter group, wasn't it? So Sadie and all those guys. Amy and, yeah, and Sadie. Yeah, it was a really emotional moment. Like, how good was that for Rach? And, you know, it might be her final World Cup, and how special that she had those that whole crowd chanting that. And again, it's something we don't really see in netball. I just thought it was beautiful. I got a little bit emotional. It was so nice for Rach, and something she really deserved.
Yeah, another article in the Telegraph this week. So you've obviously gone for the job, and you're just waiting to hear back from it.
Well, it was a very strong headline. If anybody actually reads the article, I didn't actually say those words, but there you
misquoted
go.
Tamsin, what on earth's that about?
No, well, I write for the Telegraph as well, so that was my article, but very funny. They don't ever run the titles past me, and I saw that yesterday. I thought, ooh, that's a bit ballsy, that. But there we go. Because, obviously, Tracy Neville, when she came into the Sky studio, just had a little quip about me taking over. The next day, a lot of media people were speaking to me about an official line. So, look, the reality is, yes, I put my name in the hat. Of course I did. You know, I've coached in the Super League for 7 years. Well, yeah, why would I not? And, you know, I won 4 back-to-back titles. I thoroughly enjoyed working as a coach. So, yeah, I put my name in the hat. It's not perfect timing. Everyone's got lots to say, because obviously I'm well aware that I can't hide it. I'm pregnant. I'm due in November. There's lots of other things going on. But who would not want the opportunity to coach their national side? So, yes, I put my name forward. I'm waiting, like everybody else who put their name forward, to find out whether I get the job or not.
Whoever takes on that role, though, maybe a bit of rebuilding, because people like
a
Jeevan,
bit.
Rich might
a
need
bit of rebuilding. Maybe a lot of rebuilding. It's a very, I've been vocal about this as well. Whoever gets it, it's a very exciting role, but it's a very different role to the one that's just been and gone. You have to look a lot across those players, and it's not even players that will properly step aside. I'm guessing some of those players, like after all World Cups, want a bit of time out. You have to look at how many of those players have had opportunities overseas, and I think pretty much 10 out of that 12 have at some point, or if not, are still playing out in Australia and New Zealand. That next bulk haven't had that chance yet coming through. You know, you have to look at the full-time program, how many of those players were actually involved week in, week out in the full-time program. Very few. So there's lots of things that will need to happen over the next 2 or 3 years to get a squad to that level. And there's so much exciting talent, but it is a new development job. You know, we have to be realistic. Layla's injury, Beth Cobden's injury, if Jeevan takes some time out, who knows what Joe's going to do. Rach and Jade aren't going to go on forever, ever. Ebony's not. You know, you're talking like a very different squad that would face the January quad series. So I think it's amazing, an amazing opportunity for who gets it. It's a crazy job for who gets it, because it's a big one. It's a huge, huge role. And yeah, I, like I said, if I get it, I'll be excited and terrified all at the same time, I'm sure. And if I don't, then I wish whoever gets it good luck, because it's going to be a big task.
And they'll need a bit of a knack in nurturing that younger talent. I mean, you personally, you've seen the development and helped Fran and Nat.
Yeah. You know, Fran getting into the World Cup side was a massive, you know, I was super proud of her, bringing her from Storm to Wasp and nurturing her there. And I'd hope that I'd have a little part to play in putting her there. She's had a lot of fab coaches and she's had an amazing year, and I was so pleased for her. And, you know, we did the same at Storm. I think people forget what squad we started with at Storm and how we brought players through. Your Katie Hughes, your Georgia Lees, your Mickey Austins. You know, it wasn't just a Katie Harris, it wasn't just a quick fix at Storm. So I've enjoyed that. And I also came through one of the best high performance programs we've ever seen in this country at Bath. So I would hope to think that I've been there, done that. And, you know, developing players is something that I enjoy doing and I'm good at. And I also like the tactical, technical side, as everybody knows, with my little Sky Pad. So I don't know. It was a huge honour to be able to go and interview for the process. If it happens, I'll be thrilled. If it doesn't, then, you know, it's one of those things. International coaching is like international playing. There's a small window, and unfortunately only one person can ever do the job. So we'll see what happens.
I'm glad we sorted that out.
Well, yeah, I can be a little bit more clear, and it's actually in my own words, right?
Well, basically, we'll see you in South Africa then.
Well, whatever happens, I was trying to convince Sky that instead of doing a studio at home, we'd need to probably go out there.
Oh,
right?
It's only fair.
That's what I've said. So whatever the future holds, I will be in South Africa. I've still never been to South Africa, so I always missed out on tours as a player and a coach. So I'm determined that 2023, in whatever way, shape or form, I will be there, because I would not want to miss out on what I experienced this week.
Well, the good news is we're all going to stay with Ziggy's mum in a B&B, so I'll shove you down for a deluxe suite.
That's fine. I got Bongi as well, so she won't leave me hanging. If I bring her a bag of Watsits, she'll be sorted.
How many Watsits would a million rand get her?
A lot, I'm guessing. Probably a lifetime supply. That was quite interesting. I think again, just the stories around this World Cup have been positive, just because I think we've just seen a massive shift in interest, and that's come from sponsors and fans and players and the world. So yeah, it's been a great World Cup. I said it was going to be the best one ever, and it did not disappoint.
And Lindsay and the team did a great job as well, didn't they?
Yeah, from an organiser's point of view, you know, there was no moans and groans from our side. I think being in Liverpool was perfect destination. I loved every week staying in the Buzz, and I got up to the fan park and, you know, I'd walk through every day and see everybody, and I thought the venue and everything about it was fantastic.
Rebecca Myers is from the Sunday Times, was part of the Netball World Cup press, and I asked her about her memories of the tournament.
It's a bit of a blur, if I'm honest. Probably not as much of a blur as it is for you. Just actually today, just looking back through some of the brilliant coverage and the articles that came out of it, and the fantastic stories, and I feel as if I'm back there now. But it certainly was a bit of a blur. That many games in that many days, it's always going to be.
Bit of a whirlwind, wasn't it? Really glad that we were there and just happy to help promote the sport, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And what an amazing showcase for the sport. You know, what an incredible advertisement for what netball can be, and international and grassroots both, really. It was absolutely fantastic, I think.
Ahead of the actual tournament as well, you interviewed Rachel as well. So did you get much of a sense of how the camp was feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're quite a tight camp. I think they keep their cards quite close to their chest before tournaments, and certainly I found quite similar before the Commonwealth Games. You know, they're not a team that are going to accidentally tell you what their tactics are or exactly how they've been training. Tracy, I think in particular, is very careful to keep her cards close to her chest and make sure that they've got the edge on other teams. But it was just a joy to speak to Rachel, because, you know, she's played for so long and she's always had a job and she's always worked, and the sport as it is now is so different from how it was when she first came into it. And it was a joy to speak to her and I guess go on that journey with her in a way, and see through her eyes what it's like to experience it as it is now. Thousands of people, opportunities to go pro. It would have been unimaginable for her a few years ago, so that was fantastic.
Tamsin had told me as well that it was just really nice as well that they had that Rachel chant going and Tracy brought her on as well. You don't forget moments like that.
And, you know, she is in her 30s. This is, I would guess, going to be her last World Cup. And I certainly, she told me she thought the last World Cup was going to be her last. So, she was overwhelmed to be there for this one. And I think she'll have something to take back and remember always. You know, that will be the experience of a lifetime, I'm sure. And she's just such a well-loved figure, I think, because she's got such a sort of gorgeous style. It's so unique, her shooting, and so reliable. God, her, I remember one of the matches just looking at the data that we get in the press box and just constantly up in that sort of 90% range for accuracy. Absolutely amazing shooting from her. So yeah, it was great to see that translated into sort of love from the fans as well.
Third, maybe a bit of a disappointment, but they still had such a great competition, England.
Yeah, and you know what, I think what we forget, and I was out for the Football World Cup in France as well, and obviously it's a very similar story, also a third place playoff. I think what we forget when we talk about how England did 4 years ago is that the sport has changed so drastically in that time, and the global kind of competition is absolutely, you know, different how it was 4 years ago. It's a completely different ball game. Stakes are much, much higher. The competition is much, much harder. And so you have to, I think, pay, you know, tribute and give credit where credit is due for competing in a much harder field.
Scotland and Ireland, I mean, they improved since their last World Cup, but still outside the top eight and maybe not as happy with the finish as they would have liked.
Potentially, I think we really saw the kind of telltale signs of who has the capacity to go pro and who doesn't, who is able to train full-time and who isn't, who has a league and who doesn't, in those kind of just who lasted throughout the whole match, even against some of the African nations who, like, fitness just looked a little lacking at times in those two British teams, I guess, because they are so amateur in their setup and that they're just doing the best they can. I spoke quite a lot with Dan Ryan over the course of the tournament, who I think was really disappointed to finish where Ireland finished. And he's obviously come in with this incredibly elite setup in mind. He's come from the Australian League. He's worked at the very, very top of the game, and he really wants that for his team. But he said to me, and you actually, and you were there in the mix zone afterwards, I just need more funding. I need more money. I need more facilities. I need more time with my players. And I think maybe it's been a bit of an awakening for him coming over to the UK that he's not going to get the kind of time and space and funding that he's had in the Suncorp to work with these players. So I think that was a great disappointment for them, but they should be incredibly proud of what they achieved. They play some great netball.
The return of the Vuvuzelas is something that I'd never possibly see. But that whole atmosphere when Zimbabwe were playing, even if they weren't playing the initial first match as well, that is one thing I'll take from this.
Absolutely. I mean, Zimbabwe, I think, were just my favourite team on so many levels, and the fans were exceptional. And also, you know, fans from Barbados or from Trinidad and Tobago, people who travelled, you know, thousands of miles to be there and support their team, they were 100% my story of the tournament. And they're just, it's so infectious to be around. It's so wonderful to see, I guess, fandom in that way. It was phenomenal. So, yeah, really enjoyed that. And as a team, they were outstanding, you know, came in ranked 13th in the world, left, you know, eighth placed, absolutely brilliant. A feat that, you know, Scotland and Ireland weren't able to achieve coming near their ranking. They completely surpassed it. Yeah. Extraordinary story in one of the papers about the Zimbabwe coach popping to the local shopping centre with 30 quid that he put towards his own money just to buy some, like, cones and, like, bands and stuff for the team back home. Like, it's just, we can't really imagine the level of funding that they're operating on, and the, you know, they had to scrabble, I think, for uniforms and all of that. So yeah, really a standout team, really, really impressive.
And the Proteas as well got that bonus of £1 million.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, I mean, I know we talk about, like Dan said, funding issues in the UK and even funding issues, I'm sure, in what we consider to be the top nations in netball, but actually, you know, nations like Zimbabwe and Uganda who are coming here, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, who really don't get funding for the sport in any meaningful way. I think we have to sometimes take ourselves out of our Eurocentric / you know, experience of the Suncorp and then the Kiwi League and look at what other countries are actually, you know, playing with in terms of funding and what they made of it, because it was a brilliant performance by them.
South Africa teams all finishing in the top eight, that's going to be good signs for 2023.
Yeah, I mean, South Africa, again, a great story, amazing, you know, finish from them, incredible game against Australia. I don't think anyone could believe their eyes in that game. They were absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, didn't manage to pull it off against England in the third place playoff in the end, but they played brilliantly. And I think if they work on consistency over the next 4 years, they could well be in the race for the top spot in 2023. And the coach, I mean, just an absolutely phenomenal woman who, you know, has done so much for netball in South Africa, and her legacy will no doubt go on to A, the next World Cup, but B, I think, you know, much further in terms of grassroots and in elite.
Legacy's often bandied around with netball and things like that, but maintaining the interest, obviously, 114 Vitality funded level one coaches.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think I was just looking at some stats this morning about the increased search rate in terms of literally just women and girls, obviously mostly but not exclusively, going online and just searching, where can I play netball? Like, that is such a simple thing, but it's so crucial to any sport, and it's the future of every sport. And netball has achieved that so brilliantly at the Commonwealth Games, and now again with the World Cup. I'm sure we'll see a very similar pattern as after the Commonwealth Games, a sort of surge in interest. I just hope also, as well as participation, that translates into league attendances, which will then translate into more sponsorship and greater investment.
And with Super League players scoring 1,034 goals, it's a bit of a shame we've got to wait until February.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And there's always a risk of losing momentum. I'm hoping, I trust that there will be plans in place to make something happen before then and ensure that there's, you know, we don't lose that momentum and there's not a big lull. But again, also what so many sports need to harness going forward is just smart marketing. So, okay, if we have to wait till February, at least when it then gets, say, towards Christmas, and certainly in the new year, we see a bombardment of marketing for the league, and make sure that people know that they can go and see the best netballers in the country for a tenner or whatever it might be. I think you just need to make sure that that is in place when it does happen, and hopefully we'll see a genuine improvement.
Increase, obviously, online with women's sports stories as well is something you'll be doing a lot more of over at the Times.
Yeah, always always supporting women's sport at the Sunday Times. We've been doing our Sportswoman of the Year Awards for, I believe, 33 years this year. England Netball won our Team of the Year Award last year, and, you know, may or may not be in contention again. We'll find out. It's nominated by the public. It comes around in autumn. So I'd urge any netball fans to get on that when it comes out and get nominating. But yeah, I mean, what a joy, basically, to, like I said, we've been in that marketplace for three decades, but actually everyone else is catching up with us now. And that's a wonderful thing, because the more people who cover it, the more everybody has to cover it more. and yeah, everybody wins.
Well, there might be a bit of a scuffle on for the podcast netball team, but what position would you like to play?
Oh, I'm terrible. I used to play at school. I was goal attack for a while, but then everybody else grew and I never did, so I wasn't a very good contributor in the end. But if you'll have me in my little 5'2" frame, I would delightedly play in goal attack.
Oh, you can be assistant coach with me if you want, because there's no way I'm getting
on. Might be better. I think it might be better for everyone.
Rebecca, thanks for your time, and we'll catch up soon.
Great, thank you so much.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
It's a netball show with Mizuno. More now from Sky's Hannah Wilkes. And what did she make of Scotland and Northern Ireland's performance?
They improved from previous World Cups, and we saw some great play from both. I think for Scotland, I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? Because they wanted that top eight finish. And when you think of the way they've approached this World Cup cycle with, you know, all the girls, bar one, I think, playing for Strathclyde Sirens, yeah, and really having that unity together all the time, and then it's not quite worked and they've stepped up, although they have still got a really young team, so I think you can't quite judge it until you've seen another 4 years. But I do wonder with Scotland whether them all playing together week in week out on the same team, whether that benefits, because I think what you see from England, for example, is all those players being different places around the world, going to Australia, going to New Zealand, different Super League teams as well, they come together, you're only going to learn and benefit from that. So I do wonder whether we'll maybe see a slight change in the Scottish approach, or like I say, because it's a young team, whether they'll give it another 4-year cycle, because, you know, I mean, look at Emma Barry, wasn't she amazing?
Yeah.
And 17 years old, it's just ridiculous. So you do just wonder whether they'll give that more time. And Northern Ireland as well, I think it was always going to be challenging for them. I think, you know, they played some really good netball on court. They had some great passages of play. I think Dan Ryan seemed, you know, happy overall. He said before the tournament, there are some games we are not going to win. There are some that we are, and you have to target those ones. But yeah, I thought they put on a strong show. I mean, I just can't get over Caroline Hanlon as well.
Yeah.
She's just everywhere on court and just phenomenal, really. Just phenomenal.
Our Aussie friends were eyeing up Emma Barry. Gail afterwards said to me, no, she's going nowhere. She's got her studies to do first. Keep your hands off, kind of thing.
Yeah, but you wonder as well, though. So, I mean, if she was brilliant, really holding her own in that circle. And you do wonder if, whilst of course I'm sure the Scottish setup will do everything they can feasibly do to keep her in Scotland, you know, you do wonder a young girl, if people are trying to tempt her down to Australia and promising her life in the sunshine as well as playing netball at a really professional competitive level, you couldn't blame her, could you? You couldn't blame her.
Absolutely not. You'd have probably watched Tracy, that whole response she got in this arena over and over again. What are the whispers about who's a replacement?
I think you know what the whispers are. put it this way, I know no more than anyone else. I think one of the candidates has been quite open about the fact that she applied for the job, but there are so many theories floating around as to which direction, you know, England Netball want to go in, who they've got their eye on. I think it depends a little bit as well, doesn't it, about their aim with their next appointment.
Yeah.
You know, and also sort of what Tracy's sort of longer term plan is, if she's returning, so it's more someone in a sort of caretaker role, or whether they are ready for a complete change. So, I mean, I think we'll all be waiting with bated breath. I hope they don't leave us waiting too long to find out, to be honest.
It would be nice to find out, obviously, fairly shortly after the end of the World Cup, just so that there's maybe that bit of interest that's maintained.
Exactly. I think, obviously, you don't want to do it too soon. You don't want to do it on Monday, just the second after Tracy's, you know, got that bronze. But, yeah, I would assume that they probably made up their minds by now. I don't know. Honestly,
no.
You know, very, I know no more than you, clearly.
Which is probably... Legacy is often a word used around netball. I mean, the fact that it was on Sky and the BBC, we had daily podcasts that were voiced by you, obviously. But things like Vitality funding 114 level one coaches, that kind of thing just adds to the whole overall picture.
It really does. And I think, I mean, that is absolutely fantastic, and just that's everything a sponsor should do, and Vitality are a great backer of the sport. I think as well it's beyond that. So I was doing the radio show I do, which is, the staff on it are all guys, mostly watch football, they like their sport. Now, in one of the commercial breaks, one of them came in with a football and said to me, Hannah, can you explain to me the defending in netball? Is that, because I couldn't figure out when I was watching it. Ooh. So then there's three of us basically doing a demo of a circle, one guy pretending to be the net, and explaining those rules to them, and you just think, okay, well, they work in sport, yes, but they still chose to watch. They didn't have to watch any netball, and they're asking questions about it and going, oh, why didn't they shoot more from the edge of the circle, and why didn't they do this, and why didn't they do that? So there's the interest there, because people have started watching it who wouldn't normally, and they've seen the speed and the physicality. And I think that hopefully will be the legacy of this World Cup, is that it will have opened up the sport beyond those who watch it week in, week out, or play it week in, week out like we do. And also as well, and I was thinking about this a lot during the week, when you're watching these phenomenal female athletes on court, of, you know, they're all generally quite tall, but you've got some shorter ones too, but all different body shapes, all different sizes. I just kept thinking, oh my goodness, if I'd seen this when I was 12 or 13, it would have been, I find it inspiring now. So
yeah.
You just think what it will hopefully do to those, that younger generation of girls who will just want to be strong and powerful and you know, competing at the highest level they can. And I think that's really powerful, because as well, there were so many groups of women of every age at the World Cup, and I've covered quite a few sporting events at this point, and very rarely have, well, never actually, have I seen so many groups of women and girls going out for a fun day and, you know, it being all geared at them. And I think hopefully that mentality and the, yeah, people kind of being more open to netball, and I think we might have finally stopped the dinosaurs going, oh, netball, what's netball, what's the point? Hopefully.
He's hoping.
Hopefully the lasting legacy.
You do realise you're going to have to recreate that clip and put it out on the TalkSport Twitter.
Oh, what of us doing the... there was a picture taken. Yeah. I've retweeted it. you've got me doing my best Juva mentor impression.
We also saw something like 1,000 goals plus from Super League players, which was a nice stat.
I haven't seen that stat, did we really? That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I had not seen that one, so that is new information to me. But no, I thought all the Super League players in all the teams they were playing in did absolutely brilliantly, and they all were a good advertisement for domestic league, I thought.
And the overall effect is obviously the increase in awareness of the great sport we love and getting more people playing.
Well, put it this way, I haven't played netball for about 3 months, which isn't very long, I admit, but I was like, I'm too busy. I'm playing again tonight. I've just signed up for a new league, and a couple of my friends have joined me too, because I was like, I'm watching too much of this to not get on court. So if it can inspire three girls in their sort of like late 20s to get back on court, hopefully it can inspire many more.
You're pretty busy with Sky Sports at the best of times, so what's next for you? Something easy?
Wow, I don't know if easy is ever the word. I mean, it's not brain surgery what I do for a living. I'm very, very lucky. Next for me, actually, a bit of a gear shift. I'm covering some show jumping equestrian this weekend, which is something that actually is kind of where I started, really. So it's quite nice to go back to an event that I've done a lot in the past. But it does feel like a bit of a gear shift in my brain to get like, push the netball information to one side and get the show jumping knowledge back in. So that's this weekend, and then I am having a week off.
And then you'll be back in good time for Fast Five in October?
Fingers crossed, yeah. Haven't really got sort of diaries and stuff planned much past August at the moment, but yeah, hopefully so.
Well done again. Great coverage from everybody at Sky Sports. And Hannah, when that break comes, you definitely deserve it.
I'm going to sleep for a week, Andy. Can't wait.
Every game of the World Cup is still online at Sky Sports YouTube as well. Absolutely fantastic job to all involved. As great news as another men's netball team is starting up. Northern Titans are holding their trials this weekend. And Declan told me more about how they formed.
It's super exciting that all the good work done by Knights and the good work done by various mixed leagues up and down the country can bear fruit to another men's team. And that hopefully, yeah, we can be part of the movement of promoting men's netball and also getting more men playing, as well as bringing this side of the sport to the forefront of the conversation as well. And obviously with an exciting summer of netball coming up as well, it's good that we can sort of be part of that and sort of hopefully and get involved with the hype and the inspiration, hopefully, that that'll bring having a home World Cup.
How long have you all been together? How long have you all been playing?
The players who we've sort of been in contact with and who have contacted us have played for a variety of time lengths. I've only been playing for 9 months now in a mixed league, but some of the players have been playing in these leagues for years. We have a couple of people who have sort of come into the netball world through coaching and umpiring, so a lot of the people who have sort of come forward have been involved in netball for a long time. But as for playing length, some people are very new to sport, some people have been playing for a while, so it'll be exciting to see the standard and where everyone's at when we get together.
There's going to be those immediate comparisons tonight, but the fact is you're based in Yorkshire and Humber, and that has a bit of an advantage outside of London, isn't it?
Yes, so obviously seeing the good work that they've done and seeing a few people who we've had come forward for us have either played for Knights or trialled for Knights in the past. So seeing the sort of thing and how they're set up in London has been really helpful and great to see. But then also it's good to, you know, have a northern side to that. There's many great northern netball teams to play. We have loads of talent up here. And there's also mixed leagues in Manchester, Leeds, Newcastle. So it's good to offer something to guys up here who can't be involved with a team that's London-centric. So it's good to sort of widen the geographical scope and sort of see what the North has to offer.
It's about building the Titans over the next couple of months and just seeing where things develop.
Yeah. Yeah, our first thing is getting people to attend what will be our first open session, which will be this summer. But it's looking just to get people to express an interest and just sort of seeing who's out there, who's interested. And really looking to like form a strong nucleus of the club over the next few months and over what will be our first season.
Well, in our history of the podcast, we've allowed all kinds of shameless plugs, so...
Yeah, so I'd like to plug our Twitter, which is at Northern Titans, and on there we have our expression of interest form. We'd like to get that out to as many people as possible. We've already had some really good involvement from the wider netball community. So I'd like to like shout out to everyone who's like wished as well. Thank you to Lewis at Knights for all his help, and for all the people who have got involved in retweeting our tweets, like Dan Ryan, head coach of Northern Ireland, Anna Carter, who is involved with the Leeds Rhinos over here, have all been really supportive on our Twitter feed. So just like to, a big thank you to them, and hopefully just to get the exposure out to as many people as we can. You know, we want in all the netball dads, brothers, boyfriends, husbands, to, you know, it's your time to get off the sideline and onto the court. So we're sort of looking just to get the word out to as many people as possible, to all the mixed leagues out there, because we already know there's plenty of guys who play netball every week. So I wanted to get the message out to them, and yeah, and just see where this goes.
Always plenty of information online at thenetballshow.co.uk, and you can send us a message on Twitter as well. We're at the Netball Show. And will we see a new England manager by the end of the month?
The Netball Show with Andy Lamb and Sasha Shipway.